So it is my great pleasure this morning to introduce Marion Male to you. I just, for many years we've known you, Marion, and gotten to know you more over the years, visited your base, and you've visited here a number of, well, you've been here a number of times. And we do support Marion on a month, it will contribute to her support on a monthly basis. We've been very pleased to do that over the last few years. And when in visiting her base in Fiji, I want to say that this place was carved out of the bush, and just miracle after miracle of provision in an environment that was just so corrupt, so much corruption, so many personal agendas come to play. And yet, and amongst it all, God helped navigate Marion through into having property for the base, being able to build buildings, develop the school, develop training facilities, and is educating a generation of children from the area. A number of them have never ever had, they've never had education in their whole entire family line. So they're the first in their generations ever to be formally educated in any way. So what that does, it just releases potential, let alone the things they sow into them concerning the Lord and the ways of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation and the goodness of God. And so it's just a real privilege to visit and to minister in that setting. And so, Marion, we just want to say thank you. Good Australian friend. We love Australia. Australia's amazing. And let's all stand. Just give Marion a great God bless this morning. Thank you so much, Marion. God bless.
I love this church. I really do. I love being able to go in on live stream. And I haven't been back to Fiji for 3 years. I've been locked out. But I'm ready to roll once I get back. Worst thing the enemy could have done, I think, because I've got a new fire in my belly. And I am ready to fire. Now, I just want to testify, first off, I actually have a word which everyone's taken a bit of, I might add, which is quite encouraging, really. But I want to testify about a great miracle God has done in Fiji. Fiji, 3 months ago, had a change of government. Now, that may seem, oh, well, that happens anywhere. This government that had been in power for 16 years took over with military coups. They put their own people in key places. The guy that's run the country, I thought I must try and be a little bit tactful and PC, but I'm not really good at that. So, be out of character, I think. So, Kayun is a Muslim man, and he thought he could make the first state in the South Pacific Islamic. He thought. And he would bring people in from different countries and put them in key positions like judiciary, other key ministerial places, give them huge wages. Then whenever he wanted anything done, he'd ring up and say, excuse me, this court case you are ruling on, you will do da-da-da-da. And can you imagine this sort of level of corruption? How could anything change but a miracle? And the people of God began to pray like I don't think any time in the history of the islands they prayed. And they humbled themselves and they sought God's face. All over Fiji, there were prayer meetings, young, old, middle-aged, even, you know, people that normally didn't pray began to pray. And God began to hear the prayers of the people. And in the middle, isn't that good? You know, I've been so encouraged when I've you know, Sally and Wayne's group had to be cut in half, and there's other prayer meetings with Ken and Margaret going on. And I thought, wow, this is so ripe for revival. And God can do anything. And all of this turmoil of, remember that thing that happened, COVID? Remember that thing that everyone's trying to forget about now? Yeah. 2 years our school didn't run. 2 years. What the heck? We're on an island. No one was allowed to go there. There weren't even any cases. The craziness of all of this stuff. But God moved in the midst of it. And people began to pray. The economy wasn't just upset or depleted. It was smashed. Totally smashed. There was probably 90% unemployment in our area and right through. People were just misplaced, going all over the place just to survive. And in the midst of this turmoil, the enemy thought he could take the jewel of the South Pacific. Fiji is the jewel of the South Pacific. It's the gateway to the rest of the islands. So, in the midst of this turmoil, there was a guy by the name of Sitiveni Rambuka, handsome man in his young days. He had a big moustache. He was third in charge of the military. And probably about 12 years ago, I guess, he stood up in front of the people. He apologised. And if ever I saw a man truly repenting before the nation, it was this man. He said, "I am so sorry for what I have done in bringing the coups." Fiji, in case you don't know, have had 4.5 coups. Only Fiji can have half coups. But we manage it quite well. So, 4.5 coups. And he was responsible for the 87 and 88 coup. And he stood in front of the nation. And he repented. And he repented. They had cut off all of his support from government. He was a prime minister who was entitled to a pension. They stopped this, the corrupt 16-year government under the leadership of Bainimarama, who was a rubber stamp for Kayon, was all stopped, everything. And he repented. He went back to the village and collected coconuts. God's got a way of bringing the high and mighty down. But this man so repented before God. He tried to work with a political party by the name of SADELFA, which was kind of like a chiefly type party, but it was like a bag of cats. No one would work with each other. Everyone was climbing. Who would be the greatest? Who would rule? Who would this? He tried for years. He couldn't do it. So he formed his own party. There was another man by the name of Bimrat Prasad, who's a Hindu man, a very honourable man. Don't think that just because someone's a Christian, they're the ones that God can use. God can use anyone. And I believe if they have integrity and honesty, why shouldn't they represent their people in Parliament? So this man, he joined forces with Rambuka. And that was almost unheard of. He has a doctorate in economics, knows how to save a country that's in absolute dire straits. So all of this environment was happening and the election took place. People were outside polling booths praying. People were on their faces before God. Prayer, fasting, just totally asking God to move. And guess who moved? God. God moved when no man could move. The previous two elections had been rigged. In fact, 8 years ago, I have first-hand knowledge that a big container of ballot papers came into Fiji and they had Bainimarama circled. You only vote for one person in Fiji because they opened it. And here were all these ballot papers and ballot boxes. There were 2 hours between the finishing of elections and the beginning of counting. All of a sudden, military trucks would arrive and swap over ballot boxes. I've got first-hand information on that. So probably 3 or 4 months later, the Outer Islands found all of these ballot boxes and papers washed up on the beach. So that's 8 years ago. This is the background of the impossible turn of events that only God could have done. Then, 4 years ago, all of a sudden we were watching all the numbers coming in. And I've always taken an interest in politics over there. It's better than any soap opera you could ever imagine. Fiji politics has twists and turns and all sorts of things. Anyway, so I'm watching, and then these numbers seem to appear from nowhere. And I thought, oh my gosh, they've done it again. Sure enough, Manimarama, Kayon, and most people don't even like Kayon, to be honest. They got in power. But this time, oh my gosh, the people were so desperate. Even outside of every polling booth, they're praying, seeking God. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Kayon turned up at the polling station's counting room, which you are not allowed to do legally. All the laws meant nothing to these guys. So he turned up 3 o'clock in the morning, whose nephew, Simit, just happens to be the head of the Electoral Commission, which is his real nephew, his sister's son. So turns up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, they begin to romp in. But the computer crashed. I love the way God does things. People are walking around with a T-shirt today saying the godly glitch. And it was a godly glitch. They just crashed their China-made, sounds familiar, rigged election. Crashed it. Totally smashed it. They had to count by hand. Oh, my gosh. That summit, the nephew of Kayon, he was sweating and sweating, telling the people, we've had a glitch. And everyone got their T-shirts and put godly glitch. God move when no one could move. So the election was swung the way, and they still needed more votes. So thank God for Rambuka's wisdom. Even when he left Sadolfa Party, he cut and shut his mouth. A particular skill I think we all need to learn. I know I'm marking that one for more learning needed in that area. But he never, ever criticised the last guys. They did, right through the media, but not Rambuka. So Rambuka, Bimrud Prasad packed up their bags and went to see the headquarters. All the world's media were watching. And I thought, mate, better book your ticket for a couple of weeks, not. And they're all saying on the media, oh, in 1 hour there'll be a decision. And I thought, nah. And day after day, consultation after consultation, day after day, consultation. Finally they came, yes, we're joining Rambuka. Everyone's, you know, taking the photos in the paper. Then one came out the next day and said, no, we're not. So we start all over again. That's the islands. No one's in a hurry. Fiji time. So they kept doing this. And finally they agreed. And they had three politicians on the Sadolfa team. And when they brought them in to the coalition, they counted everyone. And Rambuka should have won by two. But one of those guys jumped ship onto Manimarama. He won by one vote. One vote. Doesn't matter, he's in power. And what an absolute miracle. If God can do that, no politician is safe if the people of God pray. Because God can overturn. God's God. He's the King. Absolute. And my goodness, you should have seen Rambuka's speech. It was like he is a lay preacher in the Methodist church. Even when he goes to sing in the choir, he's got one of his security men standing with him. He better learn the hymns, I think. But It's an incredible thing that happened. Rambuka, when he gave his maiden speech as the Prime Minister, he thanked the people. He said, I will serve this people. I will serve my God. And it was so humbling, so different to what we've been under for the last 16 years. The arrogance, the absolute bullying. People were taken up to the barracks and bashed many a time. Barney Marama even bashed up two women up there. Absolute dreadful, just heavy-handed bulliness. And all of this happened, and people began to, even people that went into politics would never be in politics normally, but they went into politics because they knew, but for God, this country is finished. And they're in debt. There's only 850,000 people. They're in debt to $10 billion. Work out the sums. 86% of GDP. Bimrod Prasad even stood up and said, please pray for us. Every $5 Fiji produces, $1 goes to pay the interest on the loan. Not the loan, the interest. And they stood up with such humility and said, we cannot do this but for God. Watch this space. I personally believe there's minerals in those islands. I know of a chief that told me about nuggets up in a hill somewhere, which I'm not telling anybody about, of gold. And God never wanted to release it until the time is right. And I actually believe it's going to be released for revivals and awakenings in different places. So I just thank God for what he's done. God only could do this. And I have a bit of a word on my heart. And it's in Matthew chapter 14. And it's about walking on the water. I love this. Janet's already mentioned a little bit. But Jesus, he was up praying and he sent his disciples before him in the boat. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came walking on the water. And all of a sudden, they looked at him and they were afraid because they weren't sort of expecting him to walk on the water, which you can understand. And they thought, there's a ghost coming. He said, don't worry, fellas, it's me. And Peter said, if it be you, Lord, let me come and walk with you. Come, Jesus said. So Peter gets out of the boat. And I've heard this mentioned so many times throughout my life. Everyone criticizes Peter for getting out of the boat, nearly everyone. I don't. But he stood there, and there was a bit of a splash. There was a bit of a wind, and he took his eyes just a little off. Doesn't say he sunk. It says he began to sink. But he knew who to cry out to. Jesus. Jesus picks him up. And how did they get back into the boat? Yeah, they walked. They didn't swim. They didn't dog paddle. They walked together. And I believe this generation is a generation God's calling us out of the boat. You're not called to go on a harbour cruise with Jesus. Sometimes I hear people say, you know, here we are. I attend Living Waters Christian Centre. You are not a called to attend. You are a called to participate, to be part of it. And whenever they have anything, you know, when I was a kid, I came from the bush and I came to a place called Bendigo. No matter what they were doing, I'd put my hand up to volunteer. I walked past, I was a 16-year-old kid. I walked past, I saw my old pastor. He had a whole pile of old bricks with lots of cement on it. And he wanted to do some renovations. He was a very practical guy. So he's chipping away. And I'm thinking, why isn't anyone helping this guy? So I said, excuse me, would you like me to help? Hands me a hammer and a chisel, sat there chipping away. And there were four young men having a spiritual prayer meeting. Hallelujah, sadabada, you know, having a wonderful time. And you know what? I was a bit disgusted as a 16-year-old. I thought, my goodness, their prayer meeting's finished. At least they could come here and do it. And they were the up-and-coming preachers, you know. They were the ones that had all the ability. I was just a kid from the bush that couldn't even read and write. I said I had dyslexic too. Ha ha! I laugh. And I look back now, those four guys are doing nothing in ministry, nor had they ever done anything really. This kid from the bush, who really didn't have much ability in the natural in that way, but I was available. And I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. And I'm going to draw so close to you that I'm going to do what you want me to do. So God's calling us out of our, this is quite good, I must remember that, out of our harbour cruises and into the deep, because that's where he is. Interesting. When Peter got out of the boat, he was where Jesus is. And I tell you something, if things get a bit tough in these times that are coming, I want to be where he is, not in the boat, on the harbour cruise. And so I believe God's after us to get out of the boat. And if you don't, the boat might get you out. And I want to talk about the Shunammite lady that has already been stolen from. Not really, isn't it great? The Holy Ghost just confirms. You know, I believe many of us have had calls of God, prophetic words. We know it. And sometimes it might have been 20, 30. In my case, I'm holding on to one I haven't seen from 1980. God promised me I would see a great move of God through the islands. Somehow it's going to start that move in Lombasa. And I know there's going to be people all over the South Pacific and all over this planet. But sometimes in the process of time, we can sort of get blasé about the calls or the prophetic words. But this is the day that God is going to bring to pass every single word. And I just want to read a word. It's over in Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and will he not do. If God said it, he's obligated by himself to do it. Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a commandment to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. When God promises anything, I was going to say you can take it to the bank, but in view of the five banks that have crashed in America, maybe not. But you can take it to him, because he swears by himself, because there is no greater. And if he's promised you something, he will bring it to pass. It's him to will and him to do. Sometimes it takes a while. I'm waiting for this promise since 1980. But I tell you, it's kept me in Fiji. Oh, he opened the door this much, and I won't go until I see it, because that's my promise. And if it's my promise, I'm holding it. And I just want to talk about this Shunammite lady. If there's a way to muck up a name, I usually manage it. Shunammite. Now, Elijah He was the mighty man of God. He would go past her house all the time. And so she spoke to her husband. This is a man of God on the way to Carmel. How about we build a house, a little room, put a table, chair, lamp. When he comes by, we can give him food and he can rest. Elisha was very, very wanting to repay. So he said, can we speak to the king? No, I don't need that. And then the servant said, her husband's old. She has no sons. And he said, this time next year, you're going to hold a child. Now that must have hit a real sore spot. She said, don't you lie to me. Don't you get my hopes up. You know, a lot of people are afraid to receive a word from God in case it gets their hopes up. So, what happened? That time, she bore a child. And how happy she must have been. Then the boy grew, and one day he's out with his father, and he said, oh, my head hurts, my head hurts. Like every good father, take him to his mum. So, back to mum. She's nursing a child. She's nursing the promise. She's nursing the vision that had been given to her by God. And it dies. It's dead. Sometimes when God speaks a word to us, we think, oh, that was 20 years ago. It didn't happen. It's dead. Her reaction was incredible. Her reaction was like this. She got up, she put the boy up on the man of God's bed. She went to her husband. She said to her husband, I want a donkey and I want a young man. I want to go and visit the man of God. He said, what? It's not the full moon or the sacrifice. What are you doing? Is everything okay? It is well. It is well. She's not talking to him. She's going to the source. She's going to the one that promised. So, off they go. Fast. Fifth gear. Donkey, fifth gear. And the servant begins to see this woman coming. And Elisha says, see if he's her husband, everyone's okay. And she comes up. He asks. She said, it is well, it is well. Can you imagine that statement? It is well? Because she's not about to talk to anybody but the source. So she gets to Elisha, falls at his feet, and Elisha realizes what's going on. He gives the staff and says to his servant, go and lay it on the board, and on the boy. And she says, you and me ain't going nowhere. You are going with me. And she held on to his feet. For the rest of his life, that Shulamite lady would have been stuck to his feet if he hadn't gone, because she put a demand on the anointing. She put a demand on the one who gave it. So she goes back. He goes back. Goes to the room. Lays on top of the boy. And we know the story. Resurrection power. Resurrection power. I just really sense in my heart today, I've had it this last week. There's people in this room, you've been given prophetic words. And you thought they died. Maybe, like I'm nearly 66 now. Maybe you think, getting too old for this caper. Now, but if God's given you a word, you can put demand on the anointing like the Shulamite woman did, because this is the time of the fulfillment of every word. You want to see this nation turn to God. You want to see the islands turn to God. You want to see the planet turn to God. Well, all we have to do is do our part, and it's going to happen. So if you're in that position today where you've sort of given up, you know God spoke to you, and if you've been a person that, you know, my sheep hear my voice. Maybe you haven't been a person that's been game enough to step out of a boat. You're quite happy with the harbour cruises, just going around with Jesus. Would you have the boldness to say, to be inconvenienced? You know, God messed up my life when I was 7 years of age. He showed like a video in my head. I was asking Jesus into my heart. And this video was playing in my head. And I saw this woman preaching to dark people in the shed. I said to Mum, I'm going to be a missionary. And he mucked up my life. I'm so glad he did. I've been able to do things that people only dream about. You'll read it in the book one day. It's another thing I've got to do. But I just want to know tonight, are you the cruiser around the harbour? Or are you prepared to go into the deep? Into the deep. Are you prepared to stop watching the rubbish on TV? Put aside a couple of hours a day to pray? How much are you prepared to do what God has required of us to do? Because I tell you something, this is the generation we're going to see things. You know, Paul, he said, I'm a man born out of due time. He saw it all. And he said, oh my goodness, I want to be a part of that. Yeah. And we are a part of that. And if you've never, you know, when I was young, seemed to be every second Sunday there was an altar call to consecrate your life. I came up every one, just in case I missed something out. And I would just say, Lord, take my life. Do what you like. If you've never done that today, I'm going to challenge you. Don't come up to make a show. This is business time. Because I believe God is looking for an army. He's looking for people that will pick up the sword and follow the captain of our salvation. There's a dying planet out there. God's after people that will get out of the boat, not just cruising the harbour, into the depths of God. And you know, I believe as we pray and get into the depths of prayer, you know, I love going to prayer meetings. You are not just, please do this, amen, hallelujah. You are penetrating the heavens. You are causing the demonic forces to be brought to naught. I'm not interested in chasing them. Let's lob off their heads. Because we've got to see people set free. With transgender whatevers and everything else that the enemy can flush up, we need people of integrity, people that are prepared to get out of the boat and stand with him and say, Lord, I'm prepared to be inconvenienced. So, with your permission, sir, anyone that wants to come, this, I feel like I'm a recruiting agent today. It's not that you're going to get an easy life. We started the ministry. Someone said to me, what's it like? What would you describe it? I said, sort of like jumping out of a plane and looking for the parachute on the way down. But you mightn't have to do that. But I tell you something, you're going to be inconvenienced. So if you've never really committed your life to God, and I don't mean just said the sinner's prayer, I mean, Lord, everything's on the table. Whatever you want me to do, I'm prepared to do. Wherever you want me to go, I'm prepared to go. Oh yeah, but I'm not going to help Ruth do the tea. I'm called to preach. Well, you faithful in the little things, God will make you ruler of much. You know, I put up my hand for everything when I was a kid. I was chipping away on sad days, you know, the cement off the blocks for the new church building. I was doing everything, running clubs, doing everything, anything it took. Those four young men that had so much potential ended up nowhere. Nowhere at all. Because I was available. I didn't have much ability, but I had a lot of availability. So God wants us to be absolutely inconvenient. So if you're prepared to be inconvenient, I just want you to come up the front, and Pastor Wes can do what he likes, but I just feel, I don't mean he need, you know, anyway, but I just feel that it's going to be a very personal thing as God's calling you into the deep, where you're standing with him and you're just saying, whatever you want, Lord, here I am, totally, absolutely surrendered to you. So come, come. I remember doing this in Fiji. I said, lakomai, lakomai. Only I got the word wrong. I said, aljau, aljau. And it meant get away, get away. And I'm doing this. Oh, English is not real good, let alone another language. So I'm doing this and the whole congregation's bursting out laughing as I'm telling everyone to go away. But come. Come out into the deep. Come. I love it when young people come.
Still time to come. Still time to come. Still plenty of space up here. This wasn't so much. This was potentially salvation call, but it's also a call to rededicate or dedicate your life to the Lord, really genuinely. I know there's probably quite a few that just right now are just feeling nudged, but you're just not sure whether you really want to make that commitment, really want to make that stand. I enjoy cruising harbours, but I tell you what, it gets boring after a while. God is calling us into far greater adventure with him, greater dependence on him, greater consecration, greater genuine commitment, genuine walk, genuine handing over life and leadership to him. So you've still got time to come. This is between you and the Lord. There's some personal business. We're going to pray in a moment, and then Marion's also got a couple of more, one more thing to do. So come on up if you're ready. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. Let's all stand this morning. Marion's still got something else to do after this, I believe. But especially those of you who have responded across the front here, I'd love you to pray with me. Okay? Love you to pray with me. Pray after me. Father, I stand here today. Lord, I surrender my life. And I commit to you to another level. Lord, I'm a candidate to be called out of the boat, to come and walk with you in waters that I haven't walked on before, places that I've never been before. Lord, take my life, fashion it, and let me walk with you with such profound fruitfulness to bring you glory and honor. Jesus, take me at my word. I'm taking you at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Marion, where are you? You've got, okay. Yeah. So, come on up. Right, you can go back to your seat now, and G'day, how are you? You're going to share about your experience with the school, and talk a bit about the school and your experience with it, and also some opportunities for people to be able to partner and give.
Morena, my name's Mel. I'm a good friend of Marion's, and we've got a PowerPoint that's going to pop up. Rightio. So it's pretty awesome. I've got Marion staying with me at the moment, and just before she arrived, I sent her through Love Facebook Memories, how it pops up what you did. 7 years ago, I was actually staying in at Hibiscus Cottage, which is on site at Marion's school in La Bassa. And that's what it looked like 7 years ago. And Marion's on a journey over here out visiting New Zealand churches. And while she's out, we need to make sure that we get on board and help her restore Hibiscus Cottage. Hibiscus, sorry. So the next slide. So it's a on-site home and it's owned by Marion. So like everything else Marion does in her life, she has given the home to be used by for the school, for the staff, for volunteers, and also that's her home as well. When she goes back, there's a room in there for her to live in as well. So it all supports the NCTC school that she's founded. So unfortunately, all five bedrooms, the living area, the kitchen are damaged from the termites and the bamboo, which is now removed, and that's what it currently looks like. So the golf, while Marion's here, she's on mission to increase our faith. She is a mighty woman of God. She has walked the walk so she can talk the talk. And she, you know, she's going around sowing into our lives, but we can sow into hers while she's here. So the goal is to raise over the next year $10,800 New Zealand dollars, which our dollar goes a long way over in Fiji. So the walls are in need of replacement of ply and just gap filler and other walls. An interior paint makeover is required, and they need to replace the water tank, the 10,000 litre water tank that goes directly into that home. Next slide. So, as I said, 7 years ago, I was over in Fiji. So to get there, I took my daughter and I took one of the girls that I used to teach in a Wainone school in Aranui. And those three girls got on board for what we were doing, was going to minister to the kids and transform a classroom over there. And those three girls jumped on board. They were only 8, 9 years old and did sausage sizzles and raise money for paint and school uniforms for Marion's kids over there. So every person, I notice all the kids have just come back in. Kids, that's my daughter, when she was some of your kids' ages, and they jumped on board to support the kids over in Marion's school. So every person can make a big difference and be on mission with Marion. So we don't have to go over to Fiji to be on mission and support her. We can do it here and support her over there. So that's what we did when we were over there. So there was an old classroom looking like the previous photos of the cottage. And I had the paint, brought the paint over there. Marion took me into town. She gave me a team and I just got on with it. And so we did that. We did the floor, the walls, and we put up that blackboard. And then I got every child up from the school, over 100 kids, lined them all up and put paint on their hands, and that's all the kids. And they had never done anything like that before. Just doing that was an awesome time. So we can support her by raising the money to transform that home. That's needed. She needs volunteers over there to help keep that school running. She needs to go back there and go and live in one of the rooms at some point. You may even feel called to go over there with your purpose and go and volunteer. You're going to need somewhere to stay. So this home is, it's got a variety of needs and can endorse the ministry in heaps of different ways. And next slide. And just to finish off with, we also know that she's founded the primary school, and Wes has already said right at the beginning that this is children that have not been educated before in a lot of their families. So that's a picture of the school. She's founded kindergarten, primary, intermediate. There's 14 teachers and staff that need to be paid. This is a private school. It's not a government-funded school, but it's a God-funded school. So, you know, I personally sow and support over there because I have supported my children in at schools over the years, obviously paying school fees, uniforms, but I like to know that some other person's child is also going to school and getting educated. So, like we said up there, many of the children are there first in their generation to get education. That's powerful. We all know that education brings power and purpose. So, if any of this has struck a chord in your heart today, come and see me afterwards. I've got two different flyers. One is for the Hibiscus Cottage and one's for the school. So if you want to sow and donate and support, you can financially. You may even want to go over and volunteer at some point, so you can contact Marion directly about that. And of course, the other more powerful thing too is prayer. If you're called to pray, pray for this ministry, because like everyone's been saying, it's the gateway to the islands. Fiji is the gateway, and that's where we could see revival come out of. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you so much. Some of you might know Mel, but Mel's for some time they had incredible ministry into Aranui and those areas, and just phenomenal what you were doing. And then of course Housing New Zealand got a hold of you and had you doing stuff for them and all sorts of things. So great to see you, and really good to hear. I'd forgotten that you'd gone over, but you know, anyway. So just a little bit of information, a little bit of insight into what Marion's doing. We really hold Marion in just such high regard. Just such a pioneer. So I'd love us all to stand, and Marion, I'd love you to come up. So though you can put those giving things up there again if you like, and so that people can know what to do there. But also our own accounts at some point. So there's FPOS facilities over there, so on and so forth. So avail yourself of. Let's all stand. We want to pray for Marion and the base. I get the letters mixed up. NCTC. NCTC, Northern Christian Training Centre. Yeah. Could you come, Jenna? Yeah, Father, would you stretch out your hands to Marion if you would? Thank you, Father, right now. We just thank you. We thank you for Marion. We thank you, even though, Lord, there's been this, is it 3-year absence? Yeah, because of the border closures and the, we thank you now that that has changed. We thank you now, Lord, that Marion can travel back, be on the base again to just reestablish whatever needs to be reestablished. But we thank you for the way the school has been led. We thank you for the team that lead the school. We thank you for their dedication. We thank you for their commitment. We thank you for their sheer hard work. We thank you for the quality of people that you've given Marion. And Lord, we just know that there's great days ahead. We also thank you for her relationships with other key leaders of churches in the region. We thank you for Peter leading the New Life Church. I think it's called New Life, isn't it? In Limbassa. We just thank you for the others as well, that Marion has significant relationship within us, and even been a mother to many. Lord, I pray for a fresh opening up of a new season of mothering of leaders, of apostolic mothering, of raising up and mentoring and believing in and strengthening those younger leaders. We thank you for the privilege that she will see the privilege of them being very fruitful. Lord, I thank you that she will be seen as a mother in that whole region. Lord, a mother to many, a mother to many leaders, a mother even to many churches. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this next season of her life, this next phase of her life. Lord, we thank you for the fruitfulness of it and the anointing for it. And we thank you for that promise that she's carried for the revival in the islands, of moves of God, of great people going out with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and seeing whole islands come to Christ, of seeing islands that once knew a touch of your Spirit and of your Word become revitalized again and recommitted to the kingdom of God and to the gospel. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for great provision in Jesus' name. But we also pray for great personal encounter with you. Lord, her own walk, her own journey, her own intimacy with you. Lord, let it go to another level again. Let the dimension of your love for her go even more deeply than it's ever gone before. We thank you, Father, for your sustaining grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did you want to say anything?
I had a picture of you. First of all, the word came pioneering. The word came upon you. And I know you've pioneered. And I know what you've established to a degree. And then it feels like you're going back into a season where you're going to quickly set some things right. But actually, the picture I saw then was of you having your hands spread out and each finger was in a pie. So you had five fingers and five pies. And I know it's a play on words, but I know the Lord is saying there's actually five pioneering ventures that you may even have a couple in your mind already, but I saw five significant things you were going to be involved in, and His grace is going to be upon you. His favor is going to be upon you. You're going to see things, five different areas open up quickly. There's going to be teams come in behind you, and you're going to know the strength of Almighty God as you find yourself. At times I think you're going to say, God, I feel spread so thin, but His grace is going to come upon you like a wave, and you're going to have surges of energy even going through your natural body as you begin to influence into five new key areas. So Father, I thank you for your grace. Father, I thank you for these five areas opening up, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that she has shown yourself faithful, and you have shown yourself faithful. So Father, with this almighty partnership, Lord, we release the Lord to go again, Lord, to pioneer again, Lord. Father, we thank you your favor, your blessing, your anointing, your strength in Jesus' name upon her. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes.
Father, we, and this may sound strange because you've already been sent, but there's a sense of being re-sent and a sense of just sending you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Marion, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we send you into Fiji, into Lombasa, into the islands, into that region to pioneer and to continue to build and to set an order and to release anointing, release the word of God. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we send you with the authority and the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the kingdom of God, of the power of God. Let a fresh mantle come upon you now. We release a fresh mantle to you, Marion. A new season of having been sent. A new governmental administration. A new governmental administration in the Spirit. Let the weight and the power of her voice be more significant and more substantial than it's ever been. Let the increase of your government, which has no end, be upon her. Let the mantle of your government be upon her in Jesus' name. Whew. Sorry to squeeze your hand so hard there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Can we all say amen? Amen. And amen. And amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You're right? Do you need to say something? No, you're right. Okay, good. Good. You may be here today. Well, you are here today if you're here. But you've never given your life to Christ, and maybe you didn't respond to that earlier opportunity, but you're standing or sitting here right now, and you know that something's going on in your heart. I want to tell you, God's calling you home. He's calling you home to Him. You've been in this world, you've been without God, you've been without hope, but God is calling you home. Home is Him. Calling you home to be back into His family. His family is where you rightfully belong. And the way into His family is by receiving His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord, and turning away from your sin and trusting in Him to save you. So if that's you today, just put your hand up. If that's you today, you know you want to receive Christ. God bless you up the back there. You want to receive Christ today? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Anybody else in this section? Anybody in this section? Anybody in this section? You want to receive Jesus into your life today to be your Lord and your Savior? Anybody else in this section? In this section? Okay, look, could we all stand again? Just a friend down there, I can't see it from here. Do you want to come down and join me? We'd love to pray with you. Love to pray. I know it feels like quite a long walk come down in front of all these scary people. But they're not scary. I know most of them. I can vouch for quite a few of them. Hello, what's your name? Your name is?
Nema.
Nema? Is that right? Have I pronounced it right?
Yeah, no.
Your mum? Oh, wonderful. Your mum? Yeah. Your sister from another mother? Yeah. Okay. Would you like to receive Christ today? Do you want to give your life to Jesus today? You put your hand up, so you did. So you want to do that? You want to receive Him into your life? You know a little bit about Jesus? Have you heard Him? You know? You've grown up, but now it's time to make a more serious commitment. Is that right? Yeah. Right. That's awesome. That's awesome. So you already know who Jesus is. You already believe in God. Yeah. And you believe that Jesus is His Son. Yeah. But today, you're going to ask Him to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. Is that correct? Yes, it's overwhelming being in front of so many people. Yeah, I get that. You know, Jesus hung naked in front of huge crowds. He did it for you to take away all your shame, all of the shame of things that you may feel guilty about or feel bad about or wished you'd never done or all of that stuff. He did that to take it away and to give you eternal life. And to make you His own, His daughter, the Father's daughter, God's daughter. It's incredible. So how about we all pray together? We're going to pray together to support you. Is that all right? Yeah. Okay, hold my hand if you would. Janet, would you come over? Thank you. How about you stretch out your hand? Yeah. How do I pronounce your name again?
Ask my mom.
Lema.
Lema. Very good. Okay. Pray with me. Pray with me. Yeah. If you mean it in your heart, God's going to meet you. Father, in Jesus' name. Pray after me.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I recognize that I need you. That I need to be forgiven of all of my sin. I believe that Jesus is your Son. And I open my heart today and ask you to come into me, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for eternal life. I thank you for making me your child. I commit all that I am. I commit my life to you today. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I pray for you? My hand on your shoulder. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for your power and your grace right now. I just pray that you meet my new sister in such a powerful way in Jesus' name. Reveal your phenomenal, wonderful, incredible love to her in a whole new way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Now, you've already got good friends. Janet's going to talk with you a bit as well. And this beautiful lady, Janet, she's going to, yeah. These are both called Janet, by the way. Yeah. Let's give the Lord God bless this morning. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Marion. And we've got a cup of tea out on the deck there if you want tea. There's probably something else there as well. So, hey, is there any other notices we need to do? Grab one of those if you mean to give it to somebody. Don't grab it for yourself and eat the chocolate. It's for somebody else, okay? God bless you.